Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Monday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We're recapping fantasy football's previous week, which naturally will include a little bit of Sunday night football and a preview of Monday football as well. But Davis, great to be back with you here on the show. Interesting day, I think, in the NFL. We have some obviously key injuries to discuss. I think we're going to see some phenomenal, I think, possibilities here moving forward for some younger players. We talked about some rookies last week coming on as well. And naturally, it's just kind of time to see where you sit and maybe even propose some trades. We're just kind of at that point in the season where you know who you are in terms of your fantasy team.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a week where if you're 1-4 or whatever, you know, if you got a losing team, like, you got to make something happen. You can't just play the string out at this point. Also, if you are playing in any of the, you know, the high stakes formats, with the extra week of the regular season, this is the all play week. So huge week to get a win if you are in any of those leagues where it's you play versus the league median instead of an opponent. But we had a ton of injuries yesterday, so there's a lot to react to, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll go through it all here on the show for sure. We'll have a preview, of course, of Monday Night Football as well. But let's get started with our headlines here on the program. In addition to the football yesterday, some compelling baseball over the weekend. Only one of the series went the full three games, and it was the Padres defeating the Mets last night to advance the National League Division Series, and they'll take on the Dodgers. Baseball games tomorrow, all day long, Division Series games starting at 1 o'clock Eastern. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Josh Allen throws for 424 yards and 4 touchdowns as the Buffalo Bills blow out the Pittsburgh Steelers. Probably the top offensive performance yesterday for a quarterback. We're going to have a big name on the waiver wire this week for those people who do not own this player, but we will see. Rashad Penny looks like he's going to be out for a long period of time, fracturing his tibia in Seattle's game yesterday. And also, when the Yankees start up tomorrow, they will not have Aroldis Chapman. The former closer just basically last week did not go to one of their workouts, and the Yankees told him to stay back. I would not expect to see him play for the Yankees yet again. But, of course, football is definitely on the brain, Davis, no doubt. Josh Allen with a big game yesterday. Kenneth Walker with a really big game for the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, just not a team at the beginning of the season that I thought that would be providing fantasy goodness from their wide receivers and their quarterback, let alone their running back. But they've been a pretty decent recipe. And now with Penny out, I guess was that the key injury yesterday? I thought that was one of the bigger ones that I saw yesterday.
Yeah, and Damian Harris for the New England Patriots as well. Seems like he suffered an injury. He got ruled out pretty immediately. So anytime you see the immediate rule out, especially from the Patriots, then you can kind of assume that that guy's likely going to be out for a while. But yeah, Rashad Penny broke his leg yesterday against the New Orleans Saints. So just very unfortunate. Rashad Penny has been so good in his NFL career when he is on the field. So just it is very sad to see someone that talented and unable to play. But Kenneth Walker scores the 70-yard rushing touchdown when Penny heads to the bench. And, no doubt, 8, 10-team leagues, really shallow 12-team leagues. Kenneth Walker probably out there in some of those. Going to be a really strong bid in fantasy free agency there. And, I mean, Josh Allen yesterday, had the Steelers been able to do anything, had the Steelers been able to score any points Get some touchdowns in the Reds. I mean, he could have gone for 600 yards. I mean, there was absolutely no stopping him yesterday. And next week, the Bills and the Chiefs. I mean, that is about as marquee as a regular season game is going to get for the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. Yesterday, some interesting finishes too, Davis. And, you know, naturally, a lot of people are talking about the finish in the Buccaneers-Falcons game. And a lot of anger on the side of the Falcons. Look, Falcons have now covered again. They're 5-0 against the spread. Had a chance to win that game against the Bucs yesterday, but a penalty sort of cost them in that one there. The roughing of the passer looked like a regular tackle.
Yeah, it did. I mean, this Brady stuff. It's like people already think that Brady gets all these calls, and then you give him a call that is that extreme, that egregious. And the Falcons thing is kind of interesting because obviously we look at this offense and we're like, it's horrible. They don't score any points. All they do is run the ball. It's so boring. But then on the same hand, you do have to acknowledge, like, you know, Arthur Smith is kind of making chicken salad out of something that is not chicken salad. You know, it's like they are finding ways to stay. And I think part of that is just based on, like, you know, the Buccaneers got inside the 5-yard line twice and kicked one field goal and then missed another field goal. Like, they definitely have gotten pretty lucky in these games, and I will 100% be betting against the Atlanta Falcons moving forward if the market starts to respect them, because Mariota has been horrible. Like, I kind of thought Mariota would be okay. He has been bad, and pretty soon I think we're going to get Desmond Ridder starting games for the Atlanta Falcons, and I don't think he's going to play that well either. You know, I think he's definitely a green young quarterback in the NFL. So yeah, I mean, it's just there's so many storylines to cover. We don't even have time in the hour here to get to everything we want to talk about. Yeah,
it's true. You know, the game between Cleveland and the LA Chargers was a lot of fun from beginning to end. No doubt about that. Arizona and sort of what happened at the end of the game there, Davis, is another conversation to have with Kyler Murray sliding when he just could have got the first down, not understanding the situation, and then of course that poor kicker. He just kicks on every team.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Davis, he kicked on your team, right? Didn't he kick on the Chiefs in
this
field goal?
He did, and he cost them the game against the Colts. Without him, they beat the Colts in that game.
Yeah, so fun stories to talk about, some good, some bad, some ugly too. All right, coming up next is time for our fantasy standouts from the week in the NFL. So stay on the grid with us. We'll run through them all and tell you what the ramifications will be. Also, don't forget a preview of Monday Night Football coming up as well right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. So don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. The Carolina Panthers have announced, Davis, that they have let go of their head coach, Matt Rhule, who was 11-27 with them and still has several years remaining on the contract that he signed when he left college and went to the pros. The Panthers just, I mean, didn't perform at all, basically, under his tenure. I actually thought it was a good hire at the time. I mean, it just shows you what I know. I thought that he would come in and he had a good offensive coordinator and some good ideas, and he had McCaffrey. I was like, okay, like, this is a team that's going to be pretty good. But not only did their quarterback play not go very well, mean, you could sort of survive in the NFL like New England has, where, you know, without Brady, New England's still like passable to a degree. The Falcons are still like passable to a degree. But this team was just not passable on offense or defense.
No, I mean, it's just basically they started out every game looking completely dead. And I mean, look, you know, we all got to eat crow on this show sometimes. I thought Baker Mayfield would be a pretty meaningful upgrade from Sam Darnold, Cam Newton, you know, PJ Walker. Really does not look like that. In fact, I would say he's probably been worse. I mean, I believe his QBR is below 20 right now. It's like one of the lowest since they started tracking QBR. He's been awful, you know, just awful turnovers. The offense is so slow. You know, I think it's going to be hard for them to remodel this team over the course of the season, but something has to change because they do have talented players on this offense.
Yeah, they do. But no quarterback. The defense is horrible. And I saw that, you know, that giving up 17 points and going 1-26 or something insane, whatever that was, it's just unfortunate. Rule will have no problem getting a job if he wants. If he doesn't want to, he could sit back for 3 more years and get paid. How about that? Incredible contract that they gave out to him. Again, Panthers moving on from Matt Rule, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, no more. All right, let's get to our fantasy standouts here on the show. We'll start off with the guy that we talked about at the top, Josh Allen, with another 400-yard performance. He also rushed for 42 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Geno Smith is a fixture in our standouts every week, Davis. Another big game. He threw for 3 touchdowns for Seattle yesterday. Jalen Hurts, what can you say about him that we haven't said? He's been fantastic. 239 yards, 61 rushing yards, and 2 touchdowns. Carson Wentz, in our game we went head-to-head, they had the ball on the 2-yard line, and I thought I was going to get that win, Davis, but now we're even up because he could not do it. These numbers are just completely flawed. It was all second half. I can't even believe he threw for 359, to be honest with you. And then Kirk Cousins looked pretty good. He threw for 2 touchdowns, also a 2-point conversion, and, you know, had a pretty good game as well. So, you know, naturally, you know, Josh Allen leading the way, Davis, but Geno Smith is like a fixture of success in Seattle, and I think it's more than playing against bad defenses. It does look like, at the very least, he's a capable starter right now.
I mean, we got to go way back. We got to go way back to 2013. I kind of always liked Geno. And then, I mean, look at the situations that this guy was in. You know, the Rex Ryan Jets, he's getting punched in the locker room. Then he goes to the Giants and he starts a game that, you know, broke Eli Manning's like Iron Man. I mean, it's always been a mess. He has been phenomenal this season. The Seahawks are 2nd in the NFL in yards per play, better than the Lions, better than the Ravens, better than the Chiefs, better than the Eagles, right? Better than all these teams. And, you know, it's not empty either. They are scoring points. They are 7th in the NFL and points scored. The Saints yesterday, I mean, to say what you want about the Saints, they do have an extremely good defense. You know, they kind of do it smoke and mirrors on offense and Dalton and Jameis and like whatever, but the defense is really good. I am not going to be doubting Geno at this point. Like, if we start to see some worrying signs, you know, some of the old, you know, holding on to the ball too long, some of the poor decisions, right, if that starts to creep back in. But I have kind of just always thought Geno is pretty good.
Yeah, looks really good this year. No doubt startable in fantasy. Go about that. All right, good day for running backs yesterday. This was a surprise. Austin Eckler now back-to-back good games for him. Monster on the ground with 170, and he had 2 touchdowns. So clearly this is the one running back in the first round that is paying off to a degree. Leonard Fournette yesterday had 10 receptions for 83 yards. Also 2 touchdowns and 56 rushing yards. Breece Hall, my gosh, he was great. 2 receptions, 100 yards, 97 rushing yards. He had 1 touchdown. He could have easily had 2. I was watching that game. Derrick Henry over 100 and 2 touchdowns against Washington. And Nick Chubb, 134 on the ground and 2 touchdowns against the Los Angeles Chargers. So this is probably the best running back performances, Davis, that we've seen all season here this week.
It was phenomenal. And Breece Hall, by the way, I mean, he was so close to, I mean, it would have been the best running back game of the year. No one would have came close. Yeah. So he had a 79-yard reception. He was tackled at the 1. Michael Carter came in and scored a 1-yard rushing touchdown. Then he ran to the 3-yard line in the 4th quarter to kind of ice the situation. And again, they brought Michael Carter. And obviously, if you had to start Michael Carter in a league, you're feeling pretty good about that. And if you were starting Breece Hall, I mean, I would say Breece Hall would be my biggest buy in fantasy football right now. Probably if I had to select a list of guys I would buy high on, Breece would, I mean, just whatever you could do to get him, because 1, he looks good. 2, Zach Wilson, I mean, we got to say Zach Wilson has looked better than expected. He looked so bad last season, and he is definitely improved marginally. And these wide receivers are so good that you can't just stack the box against the Jets anymore. I would be totally buying on Breece Hall.
All right, let's move over to wide receivers. And this was the game that we expected from Gabe Davis. And, you know, honestly could have caught another touchdown. He was targeted in the end zone. He had a 98-yarder, another long one. He had three receptions, 171 on the day, and two touchdowns. Had him on my team and still lost. It tells you about the rest of my team this week. How about that? Justin Jefferson, my gosh, 12 for 154 yesterday. Tyler Lockett was quite the surprise. 5 for 104 for Seattle and two scores. Cooper Kupp, guess what? Yep, went over his total again. 125 receiving yards and one touchdown. It's really amazing. And then Jacoby Myers has a nice little combination going with Bailey Zappi at the moment. He had 7 receptions, 111 yards, and a touchdown. But naturally, Davis, there were some people who, you know, the last couple weeks were like, wait, I heard all this hype about Gabe Davis. What happened? I don't think there's any doubt. This guy was just not healthy. He looks healthy now.
Yeah, he had that ankle injury, and he was healthy enough to play. And, I mean, I think the big deal was, like, you know, their options, if Gabe Davis doesn't play, is they don't have another outside wide receiver, because Shakir is an inside wide receiver. Crowder, before he got hurt, inside wide receiver. Isaiah Hodgett, like, I mean, they literally had no one to play. So Gabe, you know, kind of took one for the team, just was not fully healthy. Looks pretty fully healthy, probably a pretty good pick in the fourth round of your draft. So Cooper Kupp goes over his yardage total, but for the first time this season goes under his reception total, which, you know, I mean, look, keep that in mind next week when you see 8.5 receptions for his total. The Jacoby Myers touchdown, I mean, he was wide open. The Lions just completely forgot about him. But I almost picked the Patriots as my favorite bet this last week. I mean, just any time that your buddy who bets on like 3 games a week and loves to do same game parlays texts you and says, I can't believe the Lions aren't favored there. You know, the Patriots are the side, right?
Yeah, no, it was an interesting week for sure. A lot of games right down to the last second. All right. I had about 50 points on my bench with Taysom Hill, who at this point looks like the number one tight end in fantasy football. I mean, is that the case at this point? He scored 4 touchdowns, 111 yards. It's like bonkers what this guy is doing. And is this going to stop? We have to have a deeper dive on him at some point this week. Andrews had another big game yesterday, so did Dallas Goedert. And then, obviously, you know, players probably didn't start. Maybe somebody started Hayden Hurst. Njoku's been pretty solid, though, for Cleveland, 6 for 88. But, Davis, I mean, what are we doing about Taysom Hill here at this point? Like, I mean, I started Waller over him, and it's like a huge mistake. Like, I mean, this guy scores every week.
I would still start Waller over him because Taysom is doing this on a very limited number of snaps. And I mean, the one rushing, like, that's going to be his longest rushing touchdown of the year, you know? But, I mean, TJ Hockenson, Dalton Schultz, I'm starting Taysom over those guys because those guys can throw up a zero any given week, and so can Taysom. I mean, Taysom has already had zero in a game this year, but none of those guys offer the same sort of upside as him. So I'm starting Taysom where I have him for the most part.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on the show. It's time for us to preview Monday Night Football. So that's coming up after the break, as we're going to get into this a little bit more and preview DFS as well. Also, we got Fantasy or Reality and the Sports Grid 60. So stay on the grid, as we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we get into tonight's Monday Night Football game, we'll go through some of the pricing, along with Andrew Erickson, who joins us every Monday here at Fantasy Pros, and actually Davis here as well. Andrew, great to have you back here on the show. You know, before we get into, you know, everything going on, I guess we should start off with that a little bit of breaking news that we found out about 15 minutes ago. Matt Rhule let go by the Carolina Panthers. Do you think this changes anything from a fantasy perspective with Carolina, or is just more ado about nothing?
I mean, it's still the Christian McCaffrey show. Like, he's really the only reliable fantasy asset that's part of that offense. And unless they make a drastic change at the quarterback position, don't know if Sam Darnold is healthy. You know, Baker Mayfield is banged up. I mean, right now it's just CMC. And then DJ Moore has a, you know, 10-point floor that he gets in PPR leagues, and that's about it.
Yeah, no, it's been a tough go of it for sure. All right, so let's take a look at the pricing tonight. Monday Night Football, I mean, maybe this will be a competitive game. We'll see. Kansas City, obviously, really good offense. The Raiders, hypothetically on paper, have a really good offense as well. So let's take a look at some of the prices tonight, courtesy of DraftKings. At the bottom, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire priced at $11,100, so that's certainly interesting. But let's start with the top. Mahomes, $18,000, followed by Davante Adams at $17,100. Kelsey, $16,200, seems pretty solid. Carr at $15,300, and then Josh Jacobs at $13,200. So what is your game theory tonight on this evening's play?
I think for me, I kind of want to attack it from the Chiefs side of things in almost a Kansas City onslaught where you're just loading up Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and then you're just kind of jamming in whatever other Chiefs pieces fit, because the way that the targets have spread out in that offense, there really hasn't been a guy that stepped up as the number one receiver besides Travis Kelce. So for me to say, oh, it's Juju tonight or it's Valdez-Scantling tonight, like, we don't know. Like, it's been so flat across the board that you can't confidently pick one of those guys. So I'm going to just kind of pick whoever I can get to fit and then run it back with a running back like Josh Jacobs. Like, he's seeing absolutely insane bell cow usage over the last 2 weeks. His receiving role has been phenomenal over the last 2 weeks. And that's what the Chiefs give up the most. They rank dead last in terms of receptions, targets, and receiving yards to running backs. So if you have the Chiefs getting a massive lead and you run it back with Josh Jacobs, who could just rack up a ton of receptions and also has touchdown equity, I think that's the approach that I would like to take.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's pretty interesting because Jacobs has been, I mean, one of the best workload guys in the NFL over the last couple weeks. I am a little bit concerned about him keeping that role here because the other guys that they have on the roster are total pure pass catchers, right? Brandon Bolden, 32-year-old, just plays on third downs. Amir Abdullah, same deal. Josh Jacobs, for his career against the Kansas City Chiefs, as you would expect, the Raiders, they don't win those games. I mean, the Mahomes Chiefs just absolutely own the Derek Carr Raiders. So he's averaged 12 PPR points per game compared to 15 points per game for his career. Two receptions per game, 2.5 targets per game against the Chiefs. But, you know, as Andrew rightfully says, I mean, if they just put Bolden and Abdullah on ice, I don't see any reason that Jacobs can't, you know, get 5, 6, 7, 8 receptions here. So pretty interesting. The guy I'm looking forward to have a big game tonight, potentially a captain selection, is Valdez-Scantling. He has ran more routes than Smith-Schuster and was basically a shoestring away from an 80-yard touchdown the first play from scrimmage against the Colts. He's going to get one of those this year, right? It's going to happen at least once, and I think this is a good spot for it.
All right, we'll see tonight, of course, between these two teams. Now, Andrew, we're going to go through some players this season in fantasy and kind of talk about maybe some options moving forward. There are some teams that are in bad shape, maybe 1-4, maybe looking to make some moves. And naturally, when you look at the season for Jalen Waddle of the Miami Dolphins and you just looked at the numbers, you probably would say, well, you know, what decision has to be made? The guy's having a nice year. He's got 36 targets. He's got 3 touchdowns, 400 receiving yards, 24 receptions. But as we know, Teddy Bridgewater left the game yesterday. There's certainly a chance that Skylar Thompson may have to make another start for them. And as good as Tua has looked, I think we all have to be realistic in sort of thinking that he's, you know, had some injuries over the course of his career and just really who knows, you know, sort of what happens moving forward. You know, what do you make of Waddle thus far? And, you know, obviously he's been banged up a little bit too.
Yeah, I think that Waddle is an interesting case where he's probably someone that I'd be trying to buy the talent on, you know, trying to buy the dip over the last 2 weeks where he has not really put up the numbers that he was putting up to start the year. And we do expect Tua to come back at some point during the season. So I'm not saying that, yeah, maybe one more start from Skylar Thompson. But, you know, Tyreek Hill got it done. You know, last week he had 7 catches on 7 targets. And now Tyreek Hill's dealing with this foot injury. Now, you know, based on the information that I've read, it's that potentially mid-foot sprain, which is what kept Rashad Bateman out from last night's game. So if Tyreek Hill misses time, like, who's, it's pretty clear like where the targets are going to go in this Miami Dolphins offense. It's going to go to Jalen Waddle. So even if it is Skylar Thompson, look, yesterday we saw Jacoby Myers have a great game with Bailey Zappe throwing him the football. So Waddle, I think, is just so clearly ahead of every other pass catcher on the Dolphins that's not named Tyreek Hill. He'd be someone that I'd be trying to buy the talent on.
100% agree. I mean, if there is someone in your league who is feeling, you know, if they're nervous Nelly because of the Teddy Bridgewater and the Tua injuries, I would expect Tua to play pretty soon. In my, I mean, don't have inside information here or anything, But I would imagine that given the general public, furor over the back-to-back Tua injuries, like Tua could have felt like honor bucks, passed every neurological test. I just don't think they were playing him in this game. And I would anticipate, I mean, look, Tua, he said he wanted to play. The coach says he wants to play. I mean, we talked about this on the show. These guys want to play, right? Tua wants to be out there. He is going to return. My guess would be sooner rather than later. He's going to be back in the lineup. And, if you could sell high on someone, buy a little bit low on Waddle after that game, I would definitely do it.
All right, let's move on now. Very topical with the Panthers here, Andrew. Matt Rhule, takes over. McCaffrey basically gets a ton of usage, gets hurt in a couple of the years that he had him. And, I mean, I don't want to say that he looks all the way back, but he definitely looks like he is, poised to have a really good season for sure. I know he's missed a couple of practice days. He does have 3 touchdowns. Steve Wilks is going to take over as head coach there. And Wilks probably, Andrew, feels like he's coaching for that job. I mean, that's the way the interim coaches feel. And McCaffrey probably gives Wilks his best chance to win. So do you think the usage just simply goes up here, or does anything change with him?
I mean, I don't know really how much farther it can go up. I mean, it's been pretty good for CMC, especially these last 2 weeks where we've really finally seen his receiving numbers really take a boost, where at the beginning of the year was like, okay, like Baker Mayfield, like why aren't you throwing the ball to Christian McCaffrey? Like what's the deal here? But, 12 targets last week, 30% target share. I mean, he's still playing, 85-90% of the snaps every single week. They're not using Deontay Foreman or Chuba Hubbard. Those guys maybe get 1 or 2 touches per week. So look, McCaffrey, he's had either over 100 yards from scrimmage or a touchdown in every single game this season. So yeah, if I'm Wilks, I'm like, this is my best player. Like, and I want to try to win some games here. So I'm just going to keep feeding CMC.
Yeah. I mean, you would guess that a guy coming in who just watched everyone, you log online, everyone's being like, oh, Rhule stinks. He's not giving the ball. You would hope, I guess, that his thought would be, I'm going to give Christian McCaffrey the ball 20 times. I'm going to give DJ Moore the ball 10 times, and then I'm going to figure it out from there. Also, as we mentioned, Baker Mayfield left that game, was seen in a walking boot. So, potentially we are going to see PJ Walker, because remember, Sam Darnold is injured as well. Right. The Panthers fans have not been reduced to crying on the sidelines to have Sam Darnold return to the lineup. I would just say in general, if you could buy low on a guy who has been the number one player in fantasy pretty much every year he has been on the field, I would definitely advise that.
All right, let's cap it off with one more player who obviously doesn't have the huge numbers to back up the target share, and that's Adam Thielen of the Minnesota Vikings. I think it's very evident at this point, and especially anybody who's watching this show doesn't need me to tell them, Andrew, that Jefferson is just so far and away the number one now. Thielen had that role for a number of years. He and Stephon Diggs, remember, in Minnesota. And, only one touchdown on the season. The Vikings seem to be scoring points. Thielen's doing the best he can, I guess, to make the most of the opportunities. But at the end of the year, what are we going to be looking at with his numbers?
I mean, you're probably going to be looking at efficiency numbers that are basically his career lows across the board. Like so far this year, I mean, even last week, he had 7 targets, but, had 2 catches. So like basically not doing a lot for your lineup. And this was the fear with Thielen was like, yes, if he scores the touchdowns, like he'll deliver for your fantasy team. But, Justin Jefferson wasn't going to score less touchdowns than Adam Thielen for a third straight year. Like it was about, there's no way it was going to happen with Jefferson's talent. Dalvin Cook ran very poorly in the touchdown category last year as well. And we saw him score 2 touchdowns last week. So There's just a lot of guys that they use around the red zone that they want to feature. Or if Smith is healthy, if KJ Osborne is also running the field. So Thielen has a lot more competition for those touchdown targets that just simply aren't repeatable without the efficiency numbers.
Yep, totally agree. I mean, Adam Thielen featuring on 0 of my fantasy football teams, really preferred, Elijah Moore, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper, all those guys around there. But even if you did have him, I think the time to sell on him is probably gone. I mean, people just get it is what it is. Thielen is either going to score you a touchdown and be a guy you were glad to have in your lineup that week, or go 2 for 20 and you're just going to be like, should not have taken a guy who is, just basically just helping Justin Jefferson get open. And Irv Smith Jr. too, by the way, ran more routes than Thielen. I think Irv Smith Jr. from this point of the season on is probably going to out-target Adam Thielen. He's just a little bit better, more dynamic. Right. So would definitely sell on Thielen.
All right, there you go. Hey, Andrew, have a great rest of your week. Thanks again for coming on the show. As always, we'll check you out over at fantasypros.com. Great job over there with all the work and podcasts and everything else. Thank you. And good luck with your fantasy week this week, too. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks. Go Ramondre Stevenson.
I think I don't have to worry about that. It doesn't look like. All right. Andrew's back with us here on the show next Monday. We got to take a quick time out here on the show. We got fantasy reality coming up next. And a little baseball here on the show as we end. Boy, some controversy in that game last night between the
Pies. Want to try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it. They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Padres and Mets, hit on that as well.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Atlanta Braves and Spencer Strider have agreed to a 6-year, $75 million contract extension. Of course, the Braves have been extending a lot of their young players over the next 5-6 years. Michael Harris, Austin Riley, Kyle Wright, and many others. And so they are definitely, Acuna, Albies are definitely set for the future, no doubt. Davis, before we get to fantasy reality, though, everyone talking about that game last night between the Mets and the Padres, and not even so much about the game. I mean, the Padres dominated the game, but it was just more or less all about Buck Showalter asking to check the ears of Joe Musgrove, which really was sort of an incredible scene to see the umpires lifting up and grabbing his ears yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I always appreciate a little bit of gamesmanship, but I just kind of thought this was stupid. Like, if I'm watching, you know, let's live in a crazy theoretical world where my Kansas City Royals are in a wild card game, you know, let's 8 years from now. And, you know, whoever our manager is in 8 years does this. I'm like, come on, dude. It's probably one of those things where, like, if I was at the game and I was there, you know, in the front row going crazy, like, I would appreciate it because you're just messing with the other team. But as, like, a TV spectacle, this is totally something that you would point to as this is a dumb thing in baseball that that you just don't really see in other sports. I mean, it's not like I don't hate it. But not something I would say is like a great part of the game or anything like that.
Yeah, seems like a gamesmanship and a desperate situation down as much as they were at that time. By the way, folks, you can follow us on social media. I want to make sure I got this in on Twitter, at SportsGrid, and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, and naturally picks against the spread. Again, that's at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. All right, it's time for fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, they did it again yesterday. The Philadelphia Eagles, they go to the land of the desert in Arizona, and they pick up another win. I mean, the Cardinals actually had a chance to tie that game up in several different ways. But, boy, the end of the game was kind of rough. The awareness of Kyler Murray, probably the head coach, too. This just keeps happening with Arizona. It just seems like one thing after the other, the faces of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray are like, it looks like these guys hate each other if I didn't know any better. But regardless, that's a story for another day. Eagles are the best team in the NFL right now. They're undefeated. Got a couple of games left in October. Fantasy reality, Davis, the Eagles will finish this month undefeated.
Well, they got a pretty easy road to do it. So they have a home game against the Dallas Cowboys next weekend, October 16th. Dak Prescott, it's already reported, is like highly questionable for that game. I know Cooper Rush is 4-0, Let me say that that is a pretty fictional 4-0 as someone who in their life has rooted for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, sure, the defense has been good. The offense has been on schedule, but this is not a high-powered team. They're not going to be able to score 30 against the Eagles. I got that as an Eagles win. Then they go into the bye. Then October 30th, last game in October, they play at home to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, I was not totally discouraged by Kenny Pickett yesterday. Obviously, like, he's still got a lot of stuff to figure out. They threw a bunch of times that, you know, Mike Tomlin was just taking these field goals in the red zone. I thought all that stuff was really horrible. Like, imagine something more embarrassing than your team kicking a field goal down 30 points on the road and then missing that field goal. Just absolutely brutal stuff from Mike Tomlin there. But yeah, I think Pickett's going to be kind of a slow burn. I think we're going to have to wait to see him give us some better results as he figures things out. So yeah, I got reality here. They are going to end the month. They are going to move to 6-0 against the Cowboys, 7-0 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But this is so unfortunate, man. It is just really setting up for Eagles fans to be riding so high going into the playoffs and then losing a home playoff game to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, I don't want that to happen. I would so much rather Jalen Hurts totally stick it to the Buccaneers, but I am seeing this written in the stars, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked at the Eagles' schedule moving forward. I not only reality in October, I think there's a chance of November, Davis. Like, this is just not a formidable schedule for them. They do have some tough end-of-the-season games, and I don't think they're going undefeated. I don't think they're going 15-0, by the way. But they're pretty much set up here for an 8-0, 9-0, I think, at the start of the season. So, yeah, I mean, I got reality here. I mean, you tell me. Look, anything can happen in the NFL and will. Okay, it's going to happen. I mean, the Giants beat the Packers, right? Like, so who's to say the Giants can't beat the Eagles? But just in terms of if you ask yourself, will the Eagles be favored for the next 5 weeks? I think the answer is yes. I think they're favored in every game that they play. So they could go deep into that undefeated, but they've been phenomenal, no doubt, for the beginning of the season, for sure. All right, now let's get to last night's baseball game. New York Mets get closed out by the San Diego Padres. They go into the final game just needing one win, Davis, and they could not get it. Obviously, they got swept by the Braves at the end of the season, too. And so they sort of limped to the finish line after winning 100 games. High payroll, ended up getting Max Scherzer, ended up getting Starling Marte. Mark Canha made a ton of moves this offseason, and they led the division for like 95% of the season. So they had a very successful regular season and a lot of fun when people went to their games to see them. But the end of the season was kind of a dud. So how do we judge it? Fantasy or reality, Davis? The Mets season here in 2022 is considered a disappointment.
Well, I mean, this is just the way you got to size it up. You ask any New York Mets fan if it was a disappointment, and they say, yeah, reality, huge disappointment. And if the fans are disappointed, that means it's a disappointment. I mean, I think it's pretty reasonable to expect if your team spent – you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars. You add Max Scherzer, you have Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom as your two starters. You got Lindor, you got Pete Alonso, you have all these great players, and you're not able to even make it into the second round of the postseason. Like, yeah, it's a disappointment. And I mean, look, my perspective would be the wild card really should not be run this way. I mean, why are we playing three game series? Like I guess is the answer, this is the way they've always done it. Or just that it would be too cold? Like, is the answer just that it would be too cold to be playing, World Series games on, like, November 14th? They don't want to extend it another week? Like, I don't really know. My guess is probably a combination of both of those things, is you don't want a potential World Series game in St. Louis on November 14th where it could be 33 degrees or snowing, right, or something. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, reality, this is a disappointment. You pay Max Scherzer like $38 million. Like, yeah, you'd like to win at least one postseason series. So yeah, reality disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, I guess part of it also, Davis, is that when they negotiated this new deal, they felt that one game wild card was, you know, just not really representative of what could be.
Agree.
Yeah, so that's why they went to three. But I think you're probably right. Like, going to five does seem like a lot. So there's a lot of reasons why this is a disappointment. But I think that the primary reason for this is that even though, Davis, they had a really good regular season, I'm willing to say, yes, that's the case. Yeah, I mean, the Braves caught them in the end, and that's okay, too. Like, I don't think I have any beef with that. But But Davis, they had the home field in this series, three games straight at home against the Padres. You're supposed to win two of those games. If you just look at it in a granular scale like that, like you're playing another team, you have three home games, you won more games than that team, you don't even have to win three, you just have to win two. And they couldn't do it. And by the way, they didn't deserve it. They looked awful yesterday and really had a hard time hitting down the stretch too. So yes, disappointing season for the Mets, no doubt. And Jacob deGrom said after the game, he doesn't know if he's going to be back. So it'll be interesting to see what the Mets end up doing in the offseason. The Braves are very good, and Philadelphia Phillies, Davis, are headed to the NLDS as well. All right, it's almost that time of the year. October 31st is right around the corner, just a couple of weeks away. And naturally, for those people who are driving around in different communities, I'm sure that you're seeing it, people who really are into Halloween, they have those decorations up by now. Fantasy or reality, Davis, you currently have Halloween decorations up at your house.
So, I mean, I guess, like, so the answer is reality. The house that I own, my name's on the paperwork, there are Halloween decorations, right? We got pumpkins, we got some of the stuff. It's not gone full, you know, we don't have one of those 10 feet tall Home Depot skeletons outside or anything like that. But yeah, my wife loves the fall. She loves all this stuff. So clear reality. We got two big old pumpkins on the front porch. We have some pumpkin string lights on our entryway table. We have a little skeleton sitting on our bar cart. You know, we got all that stuff. We are certainly in the Halloween and fall spirit at my house. And my neighborhood, by the way, people love Halloween in my neighborhood. Some of them really go all out. You know, they have the big like netting that looks like a spider web on the tree and all that stuff. Yeah, they love it in my neck of the woods.
Yeah, the last couple of years has been very tame in terms of it, probably due to COVID mostly. Like, who really wanted to go to somebody's house and grab candy? I think that, you know, wasn't the case. Last year, I feel a little bit more there were people doing it. Florida's a little different, obviously, Davis, because we do have, a lot of rain right now this time of the year. We also don't have cold weather. So fall really doesn't hit us until November for the most part. And in terms of me personally, it was a lot different when my daughter was 12 and my son was like 7. But my daughter's older now. My son is older now. I don't know how into it, honestly, that they're going to be this year. I'm guessing by the time a week or two comes, the awareness will get raised up, but I got fantasy right now. We do not have any decorations up whatsoever. I know that in the community that I live, there's probably, I would say, out of every 10 houses, Davis, maybe two have something. I think that's probably fair. And it's the same people every single year that do this. So I got fantasy for now, but I will say, I think trick-or-treating will be back for us this year. We didn't do it the last couple of years. We just kind of like freaked out a little about, you know, going to somebody's house, taking the candy and all that. We walked around though last year.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of interesting. Like, I would just imagine if you live in Florida, like, how are you getting in the fall spirit when it's 73 degrees outside in the sun? Like, there's no leaves changing. You don't go outside and feel that, you know, that crisp Midwestern air. Like, I like that feeling. That smell, that moment when you wake up in the morning in the fall in the Midwest, it's like, honestly, it's one of the reasons why you would even live here is like the fall in the, like, the very center of the country is actually awesome. It's like, and there are a lot of horrible things about living in the Midwest, right? You are giving up a lot of like life equity living in the Midwest, but that is definitely one of the returns. Like, I can't imagine being a fall, like getting a pumpkin spice latte in Miami when it's 80 degrees outside. Like, that's disgusting. No one wants that.
Yeah, I mean, we literally, Davis, had a hurricane a little bit over a week ago. This way, you know, nobody's out there going, oh, let me put my like, Halloween stuff out. But there are some houses that definitely get into it. And I'm sure that by the time we will. The issue that I have, Davis, is that we always buy the stuff every year. And some of it I do have, like, stored, and I always forget where it is. And then my wife's like, we got to buy stuff. I'm like, no, we don't. We have it. She's like, where is it? I'm like, I don't know, but I know we have it. It's like this ongoing battle every year. I'm sure you just put it somewhere and save it.
Well, I mean, the thing is that we have an unfinished basement. Even though it does flood, so it's all got to be up. But, I mean, when you have an unfinished basement, you can have an excuse to buy crap. because you got a place to put your crap where no one goes, right? No one's hanging out in the unfinished basement. So it's like, oh, you want to put Halloween decorations? You want to put an extra? You just want to put anything down there? Throw it in the unfinished basement. No one's ever going to see it. Like, you have people over, it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, not many basements here in Florida. Some, though. Some do have. I do not. All right, we got to take a quick break here on the show. Sports Grid 60 coming up next right here on FST. And then we turn it over to Kevin and Donnie for the early line. And I'm back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. So stay on the grid. We got plenty more to come right after these quick messages. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we close out the show, a reminder, we'll be back here tomorrow recapping the fantasy ramifications from Monday Night Football. But before we do that, let's turn it over to Davis. He has today's Sports Grid at 60.
So I did want to hit on something we've talked about a bit on the show over the first month of the season, which is like, you know, kind of the death of running back scoring. Now, obviously, you know, our guys, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, they do continue crushing, but there was definitely a period there where looking ahead, we were like, is any running back going to go in the first round next year? None of these running backs are scoring any points. It's a wide receiver every single week. And, you know, as is the law of life, the law of nature, everything has returned to the mean a little bit. Now, I do think Justin Jefferson will probably be the first overall pick in fantasy football next year, making it the first time in a long time it's not been a running back. But I do think we will see the normal distribution. You know, running backs are definitely fighting their way back into the conversation amongst the very top of fantasy football scorers.
Yeah, in a season with, you know, virtually no predictability, which is usually the NFL, how about the two things that are at the top for me this year? You know, as we've talked about the show, Seattle having one of the best offenses in the NFL. I didn't hear a single person say that at the beginning of the season with Geno Smith leading the way. And let's be honest, the Atlanta Falcons being 5-0 against the spread in the NFL. Like, the Falcons were predicted to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. They've been far from it. In fact, who are the worst teams in the NFL? At this point, it's impossible to tell. The good teams beat the bad teams. The bad teams beat the good teams. And this is exactly what you want going into any given week, not knowing who's going to win. And in general, a lot of the underdogs ending up coming up on top. Thanks to Andrew Erickson for coming on the show. As always, thanks to LTN for getting us on the air, our great graphics department, for our producer, Brett Levy, and my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. I'll see you back here at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire, if you'll join me then. Otherwise, see you tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, for Fantasy Sports Today.